There is nothing wrong with your podcatcher. Do not attempt to adjust the feed. We are controlling the bitstream. We control the encoding. We can mispronounce names. We can consume alcoholic beverages. For the next half hour, we will control all that you read and discuss. Go to patreon.com/swordandlaser to pledge support.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Sword and Laser. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Sword and Laser is a book club, but it's so much more. We bring you author interviews, news from the world of science fiction and fantasy, and of course, awesome discussions from fans just like you.
Just like me?
Just like you.
Wow. I hate to say this, but can you tap your mic? That's not the mic I'm hearing. I don't know if it's the mic you're recording.
It's not the mic you're hearing.
Yeah.
It is the mic I'm recording on because I'm using Audio Hijack. But hold on. You're right. It's not the right microphone for Zoom. You're not.
There we go.
The correct sound. Those are some luscious. There you are.
That's better.
That's better. That's the good stuff.
In fact, okay. If I hadn't already eaten tortellini with pork ragu, that's what I'd be nomming. That delicious sound.
So you're sounding like. You're saying my voice sounds like pork?
Ragu.
Pork ragu. Okay. Yeah.
Or tortellinis. The tortellinis.
I love tortellinis, man. Oh. I am such a tortellini fan.
What is it about tortellinis? They're just the same thing in other pastas, but they're like softer and deliciouser.
They're like just little flavor pockets.
Yeah.
Tasty flavor balls. I don't know. They're so good. And you can make them so many different ways. I prefer to have them in a tortellini soup.
Mm, sounds good.
Yeah, like I'll do like I've done it two ways. My favorite way, like my favorite, Veronica is sick. This is what I'm eating to feel better way.
Yeah.
Is like a vegetarian bouillon cube and tortellini and peas in a soup.
Pea soup. It's a real pea soup.
Just like frozen peas in the broth.
Yeah. No, I got you.
Tortellinis. Yeah. It's not pea soup
because pea soup's when you blend the peas. I know.
Yeah. Or then sometimes I do a tomato, like almost like a lasagna style or like a lasagna soup with tortellini.
You would like mandugook, which is like pot stickers in a soup.
Yes. Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would. I've been nomming. If you follow me on Instagram, you will have seen my recent story that we did a Doritos taste test at Dungeons and Dragons a couple weeks ago. So we've been sampling different types of Doritos, and I have noticed that it is hard to find Cool Ranch here in my neck of Canada.
It's illegal,
but apparently Walmart has it. So I'm gonna look for them next because I have a hankering. But I've really been on a Doritos kick lately. I had the barbecue kind, I had the like the sweet chili Doritos, which were okay. They're pretty good. I had the zesty, which is pretty typical, typical big hit, and the standard classic Dorito flavor,
The nacho cheese flavor Dorito, not the Dorito flavor. Because the original Dorito flavor was just like taco seasoning.
Oh, no, I meant nacho cheese. Nacho cheese, which I consider classic.
That is the classic.
I guess I would say. But there's like, what was another? There are shrimp flavored Doritos. I haven't had those. They are in Japan, allegedly. So I'm trying to find like, how can I get Doritos from around the world? That's my goal is to try a bunch of different types of Doritos. See what's out there.
What started you on this Dorito kick?
We were just buying snacks for D&D, and I decided to start buying snacks that I never buy for myself, but I really loved as a kid.
That's great.
And so like Tuesday night has become like junk food night. Mm-hmm. So we get like
You gave yourself permission.
Yeah. Like nothing matters. Nothing matters. Just like eat all the smart food and Doritos and what have you.
It's like a cheat day.
Yeah. Tomahome said cheat night.
Exactly. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been eating.
Delicious. We discovered, we were talking about Pringles before the show started recording, and Jason found on Wikipedia that Gene Wolfe, the author that we have read for Sword and Laser.
Noted author.
Yeah. Considered to be one of the greatest living authors of science fiction, was the mechanical engineer who helped develop the machine to cook Pringles.
Yeah. By the way, he's not a living author anymore.
Well, he was when they wrote this article, I guess. Okay. Good point. Okay. Yeah. I forgot that. Wow, it was 2019. Thought it was a while ago.
Yeah. Time has no meaning. Lol.
We're just living in an endless 2014. Haven't you heard?
That's right. That's right. No, I found that. And Jason didn't just discover that. He knew that. He was ready to like spit that fact. Like when Pringles came up and I was like, wow, that's awesome. I was like, what? So pretty cool. Pretty cool. He's very, very smart guy, obviously. So he was, yeah, just there as a mechanical engineer making the machine that spits out the Pringles.
Yeah. And then, you know, then I'll write the Book of the New Sun.
That's, you know, just in my other free time, I guess. But no, he was an incredible author and clearly had a lot of expertise in other areas as well. All right, let's hop into the quick burns.
It's time to check in on March Madness, Veronica. It's been a crazy tournament so far with actually zero upsets, but we did almost have a tie. It was.
Yes.
Yeah. It was.
That was stressful, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So in round two, the vote count for Cordelia's Honor, Lois McMaster Bujold versus The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams was 150-149. Like, I'm going to admit something here. I usually set up the polls on Goodreads ahead of time, knowing that, like, you know, these vote gaps are big enough. I'll check in close just to make sure. But I can go. I couldn't set the poll up. I was like, I don't know who's going to win. Like, usually I'm like, oh, this one's ahead. I'll set the poll with them. And if I have to change it, I have to change it.
I see.
Right.
But they
were dead tied most of the day last Monday. So I had to wait until 9 o'clock and I put Veronica on alert. I texted her. I was like, we might have to cast a vote. Be thinking about what you want to do, but thankfully we did not.
Yes. Can we see, is it on the website now where we can see like where things are stacking up okay, great. So do we want to talk about so we're already on the semifinals?
Yeah, we're in the semis, you know?
Jeez.
So crazy. Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett. It had a pretty close match of its own against The Steerswoman by Rosemary Kirstein, mm-hmm. which I know was a favorite, is taking on Dungeon Crawler by Matt Dinneman, which frankly...
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Sorry, yeah. Dungeon Crawler Carl, which is kind of waltzed through the tournament so far. Like, it's a fan favorite. It trounced The Blue Sword by Robin McKinley, 146-116. And then it was pretty easily. It beat The Spear Cuts Through Water by Simone Jimenez even more, 163-123. So I guess you would call, Dungeon Crawler Carl the favorite at this point.
I feel like there's some surprises for me. Like I'm pretty shocked that the Ministry for the Future by Kim Stanley Robinson didn't go further. That
was the number
surprise.
Two seed. It was the top seed in the laser bracket. Yeah.
Yeah. And The Spear Cuts Through Water by Simon Jimenez. Also, but you know, that was up against Dungeon Crawler Carl. So that's not too surprising. Yeah. And Hitchhiker's Guide. I mean, it also a big name, beloved. It has been on lists for us for a long time. We've just never gotten around to it. I would have put money. I wouldn't have bet my life, but I would have put money that we had read it already. Not that it was going to win this, but that we had already read it. Like that's how like important it is to.
Yeah, because it's pervasive.
World.
We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. It was in my yearbook quote. For
oh, really?
Sake.
That's
you know, it was like part of my yearbook quote from my high school yearbook. There's been some pretty big surprises here. So that's what I love about the madness that is March, is that you're never going to know. You never know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. I've noticed that older selections rarely make it to the finals. Sometimes they'll make it to the semis. Usually older novels make it out of round one because they have a fan base, and then don't make it out of round two. And I was talking about that in the Discord, and someone suggested, like, it may be because so many people have read them.
We've already read it. I was going to say the same thing.
Like, even if we haven't read it as a Sword and Laser pick, people are like, well, I've read that one. I want to vote for something else. So they might vote out of enthusiasm in the first round. But then when it starts to get real, people back off and like, well, but I've already read that. So maybe I should pick Dungeon Crawler Carl or whatever else.
That feels accurate. That feels like it could be very true. Because, I mean, I just can't imagine many of our audience not having read Hitchhiker's Guide at this point. This is great. I'm stoked. All of these sound cool.
Cordelia's Honor. We have read
Lowe's McMaster Bujold before, but, you know.
Well, I was going to say, we talked about the Sword finale, Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett against Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman, but we did not talk about the Laser finale because we mentioned Cordelia's Honor winning by one vote, but Some Desperate Glory by Emily Tesh is what Cordelia's Honor is up against. That book won against Shades of Grey by Jasper Ford, 145-116 in the previous round. And in the round before that, I don't seem to be able to find where it was. Maybe that was round one. Was that round one? I guess. Yeah, that was round. That was round one. It beat Jasper Ford. Round two was. It was against The Ministry for the Future by Kim Stanley Robinson. And it beat Kim Stanley Robinson 152-135. That's a drubbing.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. So this is all, again, I love it. I love it because I never know what we're going to get. You never know what's going to happen when hundreds of people are voting and just picking with their hearts and their guts.
These have been pretty close votes. Right now, I'm not going to say which is which, no spoilers, but one of the matchups is separated by one vote with 239 people having voted already. You know, you still have until
there's a few
Monday.
More days, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But that one's going to stay tight because most people have voted. And then the other one is only separated by 14 votes, which is not a lot. That's another one that could close up.
It tends to be like fewer and fewer people tend to vote, I feel, unless we do a big push towards the end, typically.
Yeah.
And Rob, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I feel like I remember that there's a big surge in the beginning and then people kind of forget and things move very quickly. So this being a podcast week, and if you haven't gotten in there and voted for the semifinals yet, please do, because this is tight races right now. You don't want to have to get me and Tom involved. You don't want that.
No,
because we'll want just, it to be people's choice.
Who knows what we'll do? We can't be.
My taste isn't very good.
We might write something in
at the last minute, just like do a dictatorial.
Yeah,
pick.
Somebody's not even in the tournament. No, we
would do a dick pick. You know, you don't want us to have to do a dick pick.
No, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants.
Well, I mean, I guess some people do. But with consent and privately.
I'm waiting to see many people are typing in Discord right now, like after I said that, but I don't think it's quite hit them yet. But like, what are the jokes?
Well, there you go.
Them's the jokes, folks.
Them's the jokes. Let's get on to the rest of the quick burns. Tamahome pointed out that Neuromancer has been turned into, or will be turned into, a TV show for Apple TV Plus. Good luck with that. That's
Apple
not going to be easy.
Just killing it.
I mean, this is a challenge, though. This book is very formative. It was was it the first book we did as Sword and Laser? I think it was the second then, if not the first.
The first book wasn't
Golden Compass book, or Neuromancer.
Golden Compass and then American Gods. No, American Gods was the second book, I think.
I thought we did one before we did the podcast and it was Neuromancer.
Oh, pre-podcast.
Like we did one just on Ning. When we did Ning.
Like desperately going over to the book picks on the wiki to see what I can see.
Mm-hmm.
And all that I can see is the bottom of the deep blue CCC.
That already was eliminated from the tournament.
The deep blue sea has already been done.
Yeah. Oh no, the golden
Neuromancer was book was four.
After American Gods. You have a good... Four. It was Ender's Game, though.
We had Ender's Game. I don't remember
Golden
doing Ender's
Compass,
Game that
Ender's
early.
Game, American Gods, Neuromancer. Wow.
Gosh, you know, that feels... I really thought it was Golden Compass, American Gods. Yeah. I totally forgot that we did Ender's Game. That's good. Wild.
Yeah, we got out that conversation out of the way early. In 2007.
Jeez. That's a long time ago, to be fair.
Yeah.
cut me a little slack.
That conversation was of a different character in November 2007 than it would be now.
Absolutely. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
So there you go. Neuromancer. I hope they make a good television show. They certainly, as you say, have been killing it. This is a tall order, though.
It is. I really want to learn more about this. No casting announcements yet. That's what everybody kind of looks for first.
Yeah.
But yeah, who's going to play Case? Who's going to be Molly? Like, what is the situation? I think it will be cool. I mean, we're just at this point now where you can make things look so real. I don't think they'll do it in the style of like Ready Player One, perhaps, but I mean, that was a pretty good translation of a book for a, I'm curious what style they're going to go for.
Well, what I'm hung up on is that Ready Player One was written within a couple of years of being made into a movie. Neuromancer has anachronisms now. There are things that it does for technology that you're like, yeah, we have that. That's not the future. That's smartphone, right? Like, it's not that William Gibson was even wrong. He's freaking prescient, but it's not. In Neuromancer, it's futuristic and it might almost feel archaic now because it's current.
Make it look like what did we used to call it? When retropunk, like retro future,
retro futuristic.
Kind of give it a retro future vibe, and that's, then
that can be tough to pull off too.
Less archaic that way, almost like a Fallout style.
Yeah, that could be cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I would be into that. That might warrant a reread for me at this point.
Me too.
I read it before we read it as well. So this would be a third time around.
I think that's true for me too. I read it in the 90s and then we read it for the book club. And this would be.
So I think I'd like to maybe jump back into that.
Cool. Me too.
Oaken says the BSFA announces the shortlist of nominees for their 2024 awards. This is the British Science Fiction Awards. The best novel nominees are Airside by Christopher Priest, Descendant Machine by Gareth L. Powell, Him by Jeff Ryman, Siggity and the Brass Head of Oblifon by Wool Talabi, and The Green Man's Quarry by Juliet McKenna. So Oaken is saying, waited with bated breath to hear Veronica say, Shigiri and the Brass Head of Obalafon. Now you've got my number. Obalafon, Shigiri and the Brass Head of Obalafon by Wool Talabi on the next podcast. Eat it, Oaken.
There you go, Oaken. Oaken, your wish is Veronica's command.
I think I pronounced it like pretty okay before I felt the pressure of Oaken actually having like expectations for how I was going to say that.
I have no idea. Totally... I've never heard it said out loud. So your pronunciation sounds right to me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I do my best over here.
Mark noted that the finalists for the first annual Libby Book Awards have been announced, aka the Libbies. These books will then be voted on by librarians and library workers across North America, and a winner will be chosen in more than a dozen categories to be announced on March 12th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Finalists for Best Fantasy are A Day of Fallen Night by Samantha Shannon, Fourth Wing, have you heard of this one, by Rebecca Yarros?
No.
Yeah, it's a little known novel. Hellbent by Leigh Bardugo, To Shape a Dragon's Breath by Monaquil Black Goose, and Witch King by Martha Wells. Finalist for Best Romantasy, which gets its own category, and Fourth Wing's not in it.
Its own category.
Fourth Wing's not in it. What?
That's weird.
Finalist
Iron Flame is, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's even odder. Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett, which is in the semis. Immortal Longings by Chloe Gong. Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros, Mortal Follies by Alexis Hall, and The Hurricane Wars by Tia Guanzhong. The finalists for Best Science Fiction are Infinity Gate by M.R. Carey, Desperate Glory by Emily Tesh, also in our finals, System Collapse by Martha Wells, The Deep Sky by Yume Kitase, and Translation State by Anne Leckie. The Libbies are on it. Yeah.
Well done. Yes, and very exciting that Felicia Day won Third Eye for Best Audio Drama of the Year, according to the Audio Awards.
Yay.
So this was a audio drama award situation. Obviously, as Seth says, this is really a win for the hype from her Sword and Laser appearance.
We are always
you're welcome,
the true
Felicia,
winners.
As always.
Yeah.
So I got a funny text the other night. I was out at dinner and I get a text from my cousin, Mark, and it's just a picture of him and Felicia in Felicia's house.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what's happening here?
Did you know your cousin knew her?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Well, I should have, because he knows he's been in a play with Tom Lenk, who is a good friend of Felicia's, who they've done some projects together.
Okay.
And Mark is an actor. He, I think, best known to this audience as being the Kindle guy from the old Amazon Kindle ads.
Oh, wow.
From back in the day. I can put a link in the show notes, but he's fabulous. So they were doing some reads together at Felicia's house. And hopefully I'm not like saying anything weird. I don't think I am. Who knows what they're reading? But it was just really funny. I was like, why is Mark at Felicia's house? And I was like, how did you guys figure this out? And then he's like, I remembered that you did that like vagina podcast with her. And I was like, oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, I did that.
Cool.
Said Veronica.
Small world.
Yeah, that's cool. This is not in any way related to the world size, but John Taloney says, for fans of the Spiderwick Chronicles, Disney Plus has sold the completed first season to Roku. So it will not be permanently shelved like Warner Brothers Discovery did with Batgirl or Coyote versus Acme. So yeah, Disney Plus wasn't going to put Spiderwick Chronicles on one of its own properties, Disney Plus or Hulu or ESPN, I guess, but that didn't seem likely anyway. But it will be shown on Roku. Roku also rescued a lot of the Quibi shows back in the day. So Roku, the great rescuer of shows, going to bring you the Spiderwick Chronicles.
Oh, that's nice. I'm not familiar with the Spiderwick Chronicles.
I know of it. I haven't read it, so.
Yeah. Jan says Rick Riordan has confirmed that Netflix has let their option for his Kane Chronicles series of novels to lapse. So that's, I don't know anything about those either.
Yeah, there you go. That just means that fans of the Kane Chronicles, well, you're not going to get a Netflix show, at least not anytime soon. Maybe somebody else will get the option, though. That's why
maybe Apple TV Plus.
That's why getting an option is not cause for excitement yet. It's cause for the excitement for the author to get a check. But doesn't mean you're going to get a show. Jan pointed out that Adrian Tchaikovsky has announced he will no longer cite his 2023 Hugo win for Children of Time.
Wow.
Due to the number of entries being disallowed. He considers the shortlist voting entirely unreliable and therefore does not consider himself to be a Hugo winner. That's unfortunate.
That's unfortunate. I mean, this is the problem. This is exactly what we talked about. Like, I get, you know, kudos to him. I feel really bad for him. You know, that sucks. It sucks for him and it sucks for the people who weren't nominated. It just sucks all around.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that had to happen, because Children of Time, obviously an incredible series. He's obviously an amazing author. And it's trash that this had to happen this way. All right. Man, I can never pronounce his name. Can you say this one?
Mark.
No, I know it's Mark.
Oh, you mean the other person, David Dasmalshin?
Dasmalshin?
I'm not saying
Alexander Skarsgård in Apple sci-fi series.
He
Murder
was in
Bot.
Oppenheimer. That guy.
Well, he was also in, I liked him as the polka dot guy from the DC Comics movie with the girl.
Suicide Squad.
Harley Quinn. Yeah,
Harley
Suicide
Quinn.
Squad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Margot Robbie.
We got there. Yeah. So he will play Garrotten in the Murderbot series. So let's all get just as over analytic about his casting as we did with Alexander Skarsgård. Is he really Garothan? Does he have the same life experience as Garothan?
We're allowed to have feelings.
I'm not saying you're not.
No one was nasty to Alexander Skarsgård.
There were some people who were kind of nasty. Really? But none of us.
They were mean to him?
About him on the internet. I'm sure he didn't pay attention. Hopefully he didn't.
I have a little, maybe I was like, he's too hot and muscular and manly to play this character that I didn't envision this way.
Just objectifying him. So sad. Referencing the Alexander Skarsgård casting, Mantissa noted that there's an interview with Martha Wells at Locust magazine. And I think the interest to us, says Mantissa, is that Martha Wells' comment that Murderbot's inner voice is similar to her own. Wells said, instead of dancing around a lot of my issues with anxiety and depression, I finally used Murderbot to talk about them. I think that's one of the reasons why it sounds like me, and it's a very personal character to me in a way a lot of my other characters are not. I do enjoy writing it still. So, obviously, if the inner monologue of Murderbot is Martha Wells' voice, she looks like Alexander Skarsgård.
That's the only answer.
Yeah, it's logic. It's science.
I have to say now, like in true honesty, I feel really bad for saying that I objectify Alexander Skarsgård as a feminist. Like I shouldn't joke about these things. Like,
you're allowed to have
actor.
Feelings and you're also allowed to make stupid jokes and you don't have to.
I do find him attractive.
Yeah, that's fine.
Very, very that's attractive. Fine. The end.
The end.
Okay. Mark says, R.F. Kuang's Babel, optioned for on-screen adaptation.
Optioned. Don't get too attached. But that's good news. I would like to see that.
That is good news.
Yeah.
I definitely want to read this. I know we already read R.F. Kuang for Sword and Laser, but I'm going to have to make this a side read.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of side reading recently.
Same
so I have
with
the
me.
Space.
I would love to have this. I would love to have the time to read this on the side. I'm starting to clear my TBR list a little bit. So I'm seeing an opening.
Ooh. I'm just adding too many things too quickly to ever make that happen.
I'm reading nonfiction right now for the first time in years.
Wow.
I have not had any room for that. I'm reading a history book about things that actually happened.
Is it about the Roman Empire?
It's not.
It's not?
In fact, I hadn't thought about the Roman Empire all week until you said that.
The funniest thing happened. So I was in, just a side note, I was in at my kickboxing class and our regular teacher was out, our regular female teacher was out and the male owner of the gym was there teaching us. And it's the women's kickboxing class. So it's all women. And at the end of the class, he was just chatting and he was saying something about like, he found this coin and it predated the Roman Empire and it was so cool and blah, blah, blah. And I go from the back of the room, I go, wait, so you really do think about the Roman Empire? And like all the women just started losing it, like cracking up. He's like, what? I think the Roman Empire is like really. And like he had about the meme. No idea about the meme. And so it was just like all the people in the class knew what I was talking about.
Oh,
we started trying to explain it to him. And he was like, oh, yeah, no, the Roman Empire.
That's funny. Oh, okay. I'm extremely embarrassed. I mean, I get it now.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody who submitted quick burns. You can do so over on our Goodreads thread or in our Discord channel. Now it is time for Barrier Sword, which is our feedback from the audience.
John Taloney said, well, if we're doing an Aliens kid book, why not Viking animated cartoons? I'm thinking like Dora the Viking, but instead of calling out the map, it's the sax, going with the secondary pronunciation sax instead of what we all thought the first time, sax or
C-ax. I was saying C-ax in my brain
and then,
in my thought cage.
John Taloney wrote, when adventure's on the go and it's stabbing time, you know, what'll it be? The sax. Say it again. The sax. When there's places you should be and it's killing time, you'll see. What'll it be? The sax. Say it again. The sax. I'm the sax. I'm the sax. He's the sax.
He's the sax. He's the sax. He's the sax. I'm the sax. good.
John Taloni, you're a poet, literally.
You've done it again. Terp Kristen, in reference to our previous episode, said, this episode got me through most of my workout today. Thanks for that. And then I wanted hot chocolate and Girl Scout cookies, but instead I had Szechuan crispy beef. On the Hugo stuff, she goes on to say, I was one of the ones expecting controversy with it being in China. But what I found most egregious in the leaked emails was the Western committee members deciding that books should be withheld without reading the book. For someone to say this shouldn't be in without reading a book is ridiculous. The February book of the month isn't working for me. I've put it on the back burner. I know that my usual doorways are plot and characters, but I just don't even want to read it. Maybe one day I'll get back to it. She is, of course, referencing the previous book of the month pick, which was Shadow of the Gods by John Gwynne, which we will wrap up spoilerly shortly.
Terp Kristen, I am so tempted to make a joke about, like, oh, so you haven't read it, but you formed an opinion about it. But that's totally unfair. It would be unfair. But yeah,
It's all good.
It's totally all good. And the fact that they, yes, I, to the rest of what Terp Kristen said about the Hugo stuff, just one big all capital YES.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about these books. We have a new pick to talk about, the March pick. And we'll get to our final thoughts on Shadow of the Gods by John Gwynne, which will be spoilery. Tom, do you want to talk about Iron Widow? I mean, we talked about it a little bit last episode.
Yeah, because
I'm done. I finished it.
Yeah, we kicked it off a little bit early because of the March Madness stuff. So we have already sort of kicked it off and the book briefing has gone out and all of that. But two things I was going to say. One was the one you just said. Like, you texted me and were like, I think I'm going to finish Iron Widow before I finish Shadow of the Gods by John Gwynne.
I did.
Why was that? Again, non-spoilery. We're not going to be spoilery.
Non-spoilery. Couple reasons. One, I did the audiobook of Iron Widow.
Okay. And you were reading.
And the reason. The other one. Yeah. And okay. The reason that makes me read faster is because I drove down to the border to the States. So I had a good, 3.5, 4 hours of reading done. I listen to audiobooks constantly when I'm around the house, when I'm walking the dog, when I'm doing workouts, when I'm doing anything. So I just I cruise through it really fast.
Why didn't you do audio for Shadow of the Gods?
Because I was in the middle of finishing up ACOTAR, the ACOTAR series at the time, the Sarah J. Maas series. And so I was deep in that and couldn't be bribed to move on to a different story in the middle of that. That was not going to happen. Thirdly, I got a new Kindle reading setup in my bedroom. Did I tell you about this? So you see how I've got a boom arm for my microphone?
I can see that. No one else can see that, but yes.
So I have a boom arm, a boom on my microphone connecting to my desk. I purchased something very similar for my Kindle.
Oh, fancy.
And attached it to my bed.
Uh-huh.
That's a picture. Mark just posted a picture in the chat of what that looks like.
Oh, from one of your stories on Instagram. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like I'm, as I say in the story, convalescing. it looks like basically I'm in a hospital bed. But I have purchased a gooseneck Kindle holder, device holder. So I can position my Kindle exactly where I want it in bed with a remote control page turner.
Oh my gosh.
I hold the little button in my hand and have a little string that holds it around my wrist so I can't lose it if I fall asleep. And I push the button to turn the page so I get all snuggled in, the blanket over my head and the Kindle right in front of me at the perfect position. And I instantly fall asleep.
I was going to say, you make it two words.
Instantly fall asleep.
Yeah.
I am so comfortable that there is I think the only thing that kept me reading Kindle in the past was fear of it dropping on my face and hurting me, kept me conscious enough to be able to continue reading at night. And so now I've totally totally ruined myself, and I have to like drink a Diet Coke before bed in order to like
then you have to
stay
get up, and
up long enough to read a couple
through the
chapters.
Night
because
you drank a Diet Coke. And, yeah.
It's a problem. I've made it too good.
You over-engineered it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Jason in chat says, Veronica's living in 3024 while the rest of us are stuck in 2024.
So that answers the first one. The second thing I wanted to say about Iron Widow, and again, non-spoilery, I am pleasantly surprised how many people are expressing true love for this story. There's some dissenting voices, as there always are, and as I totally expected to be. As on the last episode, I said, some of you are going to have a big problem with this. I believe Ian's response to this kind of was what I was expecting a few more people to have. What I wasn't expecting was the people who are like, oh my gosh, I absolutely love this book. I had fun all the way through. Because so many people are fast readers and you know, got through it so quickly. I'm pleased. I'm glad. And I can't wait to have a more spoilery discussion about it.
I definitely have a lot of thoughts, like a lot of complicated thoughts about this book that I hope I will remember by the time we record the next podcast.
I know that's the problem with reading things too early, but
yeah. But I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it for sure. And that was another reason why I kept going, because I've definitely had audiobooks in the past that were a struggle. And this one was interesting enough that I wanted to like keep listening, keep going, finding chores to do. That's always the sign, right?
I will say
an audiobook
that at different times reading Iron Widow, I was simultaneously at those times delighted and annoyed.
Okay.
Right?
Interesting. I think we will have a good talk about this then, because I can say the same.
Yeah. And there were, this is also non-spoilery, there were times when I found out later that, I was annoyed for a reason, you know, and the reason I was annoyed had now been addressed in a way that I didn't expect it to be addressed. It's all very vague.
Did you choose this in any way to push back against the Hugo situation?
Nope. Didn't even occur to me till you said that just now.
Wow. Okay. All right. I like it.
I chose this because I found it on a list of like hot books right now. I was looking for something really like what are people talking about right now? I wanted to choose from a list of those books, and it just sounded fun because, you know, mechas.
Mechs. Yeah, for sure. I do want to say Jason's just like going off tonight, says that the author has a page on their website with pictures of the mechas.
And also a picture of themselves in a cow costume, which I also respect and enjoy.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
It's like
no judgment.
Like a onesie.
Let's get into our spoilery thoughts of Shadow of the Gods by John Gwynn. This was February's book pick chosen by me. Laszlo kicks things off by saying, thoughts on Caged. First, the good. The Norse setting was cool with lashings of authentic detail. The fights were gripping, and Orca was an outstanding sax wielder. The Vassin were creepy, and I'm glad they reappeared at the end. The bad. Multiple viewpoints slow this book down. I felt the two warbands were really similar, and the Elvar's Bloodgrim did not really add anything. The descriptions got kind of samey, and we often just had lists of what weapons people were carrying. He gave it a 3 out of 5, but says I'm going to read the next book, as Vassin are supposed to have a greater part.
I'm with you on some of the second parts. Actually, I'm with you on the good parts, too. Like, I shouldn't skip over that. I thought the fight scenes were incredibly well written. And as someone who sometimes eyes glaze over during a fight scene or a chase scene, I did not have that happen with these. These were better. These were good. The Vassin were creepy. I thought the setting was incredible. I really was immersed in the world and wanted to learn more about it. And in that Elder Scroll kind of comparison, I could see it. I was like, oh yeah, this is a big wide open world.
Skyrim-y.
Yeah.
Or like it was very like Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
That was
another one that came back to me, especially the Drengars.
But I did keep expecting the story to go places that it did not. And so I wouldn't call plot a doorway for this one for that reason. I thought our characters were going to cross each other's paths at some point.
Oh my God.
And they kind of do towards the very end-ish, but not really. And that's fine. It just maybe an expectation I shouldn't have brought to this book, but that started to annoy me. I was like, these are just four different, entirely different stories set in the same world. Like, they don't really have anything to do with each other.
So can I say, it's been a long time since I've rolled over in bed after finishing a book and basically yelled at my husband and been like, it's a cliffhanger! It's a cliffhanger! I didn't even want it! Like, I was so mad because I had a hard, like, I'm not going to lie. I had a little bit of a hard time getting into this book. It was my pick. Mm-hmm. I take full responsibility.
you're not on the hook for the books you pick being good or not. That's not your responsibility.
I know,
but
I know.
But yeah.
And I just wanted, like, I wanted, same as you, I wanted the storylines to come together quicker. I was waiting, like, Orca's story was, it felt so personal as, like, a mom of a young boy. Like, sure. I really, like, I was vibing with her. I was like, I will effing kill these MFers. Like, I will burn the world to get this kid back with you. Like, I am on your side, girl. Like, I am in this. And then to have it at the end be like, they just find her. And I mean, I thought that was cool. I mean,
yeah.
Big reveal,
sure.
Big reveal that yeah. that the Bloodsworn are, like, you know, she used to either, I mean, I don't want to get spoilery for the second book. She has a connection obviously to the Bloodsworn. And that was just like, that was cool. That was awesome. I loved Varg.
Varg, sure.
Varg.
Yep.
Okay. So Varg, I thought was a great character. Like, I loved his growth, but also his storyline also was a little slow. Like, it plodded along quite a bit. And the, like, training montages kept happening. Mm. And, like, the, like, him getting comfortable kept happening. And it just, I felt like that could have happened a lot faster.
Yeah.
Also,
I liked
his story. Everything could have been
a
little more compressed.
And there was never a point where I was bored by his story. I will say that, but I did catch myself going, wait, did I already read this part a few times? Cause
yeah,
we were covering the same motivations and the same, like, well, but my sister and all of that sort of stuff.
I mean, I feel like every chapter with him ended, I'm kind of happy now, but
I shouldn't be. Yeah, exactly.
Sister. Which I get, but yeah, it really felt like that was, they were going back to that quite often, and I was ready for a little faster of a development there. I loved, like, I got the sense that he was probably, what's the word? What do they use? What's the word?
Stockholm
syndrome? For being, no. What is, the Bloodsworn and Varg are all...
Oh, the people who have animal powers connected
not
to
tainted.
The god.
Tainted. Thank you, Tamahome. Tainted.
Yeah.
Not thought caged, but also thought caged.
You're stuck inside your own cage.
You definitely got the sense that he was probably tainted, but I thought it was a pretty great reveal that they were all tainted. Like,
yeah.
That was
good. I like
that. They were, like, sussing him out to make sure that he was
make
on
sure
board
tainted.
With their mission.
Yeah. And that he's okay with other people being tainted.
And then Elvar's story was also, I mean, I thought that the drama with her boy toy that at the end there where he killed their captain, that was shocking. I mean, that was definitely a moment where I was like, oh, yo, what? So that was a pretty good,
there were
pretty
definitely
good moment,
stakes,
I think.
In John Gwynne's book. There's no lack of, like, you know, he's not treating you with soft gloves here. That actually brings us nicely to Decado's comment. Regardless of my gripes, I still enjoyed the book overall. I didn't think it felt slow like a lot of people did. I think Varg's chapters were my favorite, followed by Elvar, though I'm very interested to see where Orca's story goes now. All in all, I would give it a 4 out of 5, and we'll definitely continue the trilogy.
I almost want to spite read the second book because I'm just so mad that it was a cliffhanger.
Well, you should read Gristle McNerd's comment then.
Gristle McNerd says, oh, come on, ending on a cliffhanger? I just finished. I do want to know what happens, but I'm not sure I wanted enough to expose myself to more awkward prose about Viking stuff.
And then Seth moved straight on to the second book and said, just figured I'd report that it's more of the same, but even more so. There's more blood and gore, including one fight that is so ridiculous it leans over into body horror territory. There is more of people journeying around all over the place, even sometimes away from where it seems like they ultimately need to go. Every person's description includes the weapons they're carrying. There are more thought cages. It's basically the first book turned up to 11. And the third book is due out later this year.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it has everything that I should like in a book. It feels like the formula is all there, and yet it didn't give me the readies. You know, it didn't give me the, like, get me back in here. I need to keep reading this. I feel like
you wanted more of a story element to it than it
had. I guess so, yeah. It was very world building and it was very, I feel like there was good character.
Yeah, the characters are strong.
Like the character development was definitely on point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I needed more in the plot category for me, or more of a faster push there. Maybe I'm just getting spoiled. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like, I'm reading too much fairy smut and just like things happen very quickly. And, in so many ways.
You're like, why isn't there more fairy smut in this book that doesn't have fairy smut in it?
Doesn't have fairies and doesn't have much smut.
Yeah, the smut's,
if any, really,
thin on the ground.
Why am I reading this?
Yeah, Iron Widow.
I'm questioning everything.
Well, I think that wraps us up on Shadow of the Gods. Do you have any other thoughts?
I was really mad at that cliffhanger.
Yeah, I could tell.
I was really like, I talked about it to other people who don't know about this podcast.
Don't know what you're talking about.
I talked about it to my husband multiple times.
Yeah. What did he say?
He's like, wow, you're really mad about this. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty mad.
I'm feeling that you're mad about this. I'm getting mad.
I'm getting mad from this. Yeah. Mad vibes.
You're giving mad about this book.
You're giving strong mad right now. But yeah, I don't know. I might have to read the second book regardless. All right.
That's how they get you.
All right. Our show is currently entirely funded by your patrons. Thank you so much, the folks who back our show. If you want to help support us, you can head over to patreon.com/swordandlaser.
You can also support the show by buying books through our links. You can find links to the books we talk about and some of our favorites at swordandlaser.com/picks.
Email us feedback@swordandlaser.com. We are on Instagram, X, and Mastodon @swordandlaser. And you can join in on all of the discussions at goodreads.com/swordandlaser or hop in our Discord. Learn more over at the website, swordandlaser.com. All right, we will see you next time.
Guten Tag.
Bye.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.